We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are doing really, really well. I'll tell you what. It's sometimes in life you don't even realize what's good for you, okay? And my belief is that is the case. That is the case for you guys right now, in terms of one thing and one thing in particular. And you need somebody. You need somebody who's not in the bubble. I haven't been in the bubble of South Carolina. I haven't been in the bubble of the Upstate. I've been a little bit thrown by the distaste for this particular thing from many of you. And it's great for you, and you don't realize it. And when you wake up and smell the coffee, you're going to realize that it's outstanding for you. It's outstanding for me. It's outstanding for all of us here. Okay? But first, let me tell you that let me talk to you about one thing, okay? One thing, something that's really important in life. Progress isn't always linear. Okay, and you don't always progress by leaps and bounds. Sometimes progress is about this. Baby steps. In life, you have to take baby steps sometimes. You know, to get a radio job, the way to work up in radio is to accept a part-time position that pays you between $12 and $20 an hour and to do that position for multiple years of time. That's how you move up in the radio business, right? It's what I had to do in Atlanta. It's what I had to do in Orlando to move up. You accept a position that might pay you, if you work 20 hours a week at $15 an hour, you might get $600 a month before taxes, $400 to $500 a month after taxes, and you got to work 20 hours a week making very little money, and you got to make a lot more in the other 20 hours a week of work. You got to find something else that allows you to have the flexibility to do this. And if you do that and you do a good job over a period of years, you might one day get your number called to be in the starting lineup and get to do this 5 days a week. But see, a lot of people aren't willing to make that sacrifice to be able to get this position. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, you probably will never be full-time in sports media. You've got to do the grunt work. You've got to do odd hours. When I was on in Atlanta at our Intercom station in Atlanta, when that station started, Lonzo, they were 24/7 local. So the first couple weeks they were on the air, part-timer Mark Ryan, guess what shift he was hosting? 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. every single morning. 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. If you're not willing to do that for $12 an hour, you're probably not going to make it in this business long term. You're probably not going to end up getting the full-time 5-day-a-week salaried position job. It's about baby steps in life in so many different areas. Well, The same is true for the Carolina Panthers coming here to South Carolina. And many people don't realize this, many people don't grasp this, but it's about baby steps, all right? Dave Tepper, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, has said for a really long time that this is South Carolina's team too, okay? That there's no doubt about that, that he was really going to emphasize the Carolina part of the name and emphasize that it doesn't say North Carolina, right? And it's so critical that you guys realize that now there's a different ownership. What Richardson wouldn't do as an owner, Jerry Richardson, Dave Tepper is doing, and he's extending his hand across the aisle to you. He's making an effort that, in my opinion, you, the residents of the Upstate, are not reciprocating. He's saying, I want to be your team as well. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm skeptical, man. But yeah, more traffic. You're taking the training camp away from Spartanburg and Wofford. And no, you're getting an NFL team. The state of South Carolina, folks, isn't just going to be awarded an NFL expansion franchise. That's never going to happen. But you take baby steps, like Bill Murray just said to Richard Dreyfuss in the movie What About Bob? You take baby steps, and it gets you where you need to be. And those baby steps are happening right now. The Carolina Panthers are relocating to York, South Carolina. Their headquarters are going to be in South Carolina. Their training facility is going to be in South Carolina. Yeah, they'll travel 30, 40 minutes up the road to play their home games in Charlotte, but a team is about more than where they play. If that wasn't the case, then the New York Giants would be the New Jersey Giants. The New York Jets would be the New Jersey Jets because they play in New Jersey. Okay? You are what your team name says you are. The Giants aren't New Jersey's team. Lonzo, agree or disagree? You are what your team name says you are, or should you be classified by where you play?
I think you should be classified by where you play. I absolutely
do. So they should be the New Jersey Giants.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. It's false advertising.
They're not, and nobody believes them to be the New Jersey Giants. No one believes them to be the New Jersey Jets. You are what you claim yourself to be. The New England Patriots aren't Boston's team. They're New England's team. They're the favorite team of Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and all parts in between. They're the favorite team because they're the New England Patriots. If you brand yourself successfully, you are what your name says that you are. That's the way that it works. And see, Jerry Richardson didn't have that vision. He said, okay, we'll call them Carolina. We'll make that sacrifice, but we're going to let everybody really know this is Charlotte's team, man. This is North Carolina's team. And then you have the new ownership, Dave Tepper, come in and say, wait a minute. No, that's not how this is going to work. We're going to reach our hands across the aisle. We're going to unify both states. We're going to get two states behind one team. Do you guys think it's possible? I mean, with the relationships between North Carolina and South Carolina as states, is it possible for one team to unify both states? Has that ever happened previously? Lonzo, I mean, speaking from your knowledge of this state, is it possible? Because I'll tell you one thing. In the state of Florida, you can't even unify Tampa Bay and St. Pete, and many people consider those the same city. And you can't unify them because there's a body of water and a bridge that you have to cross to pass between them. There's something about a body of water that is very divisive to people. But there's no body of water here, right? The state line is figurative only in our own definition, right? You can cross over the state line any number of times and not even realize it. We are the Carolinas. Is it possible for one team to unify both Carolinas behind one cause? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Lonzo, I'm asking you and I'm asking our audience for a description of the relationship that exists between both states. My hunch is, having been here just a few months, that the feeling that many South Carolinians have about North Carolinians is that North Carolina is the pretty girl in the neighborhood that's been turning your nose up on us for her entire life. I don't know if that's the case, but I get the sense that South Carolinians feel a bit of an inferiority complex to North Carolina.
Okay, I've never noticed that before.
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I've never noticed that before. I just think of them as separate states. I realize we share the same name, the last part of the name. I'd be wondering, is South Dakota and North Dakota, do they hate each other? I don't know. Does West Virginia and Virginia, do they hate each other? I don't know.
Is it possible for one team to unify both states behind a common cause?
I think you're trying to find something that doesn't exist. I don't think that there's any division between the two states over the team. But the Panthers are who they are.
No, I get it. But we've still not had one team in the history of these two states that unified both states. We criticize some Clemson football fans for claiming Duke is their basketball team. Duke has not unified all of South Carolina. Okay? Heck, Clemson can't even unify all of South Carolina. But is it, and we see this attempt, we see the attempt with the Carolina Hurricanes, we see the attempt with the Carolina Panthers. Is it possible for one team in either of these two states to unify both states? Because I don't, you know, and I've called Clemson the best national brand in college football today, but I don't think North Carolinians would call Clemson their team. I know they wouldn't call South Carolina their team, but we've seen both the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes make that attempt. I mean, is it with your knowledge of fans here in the state of South Carolina, is it possible for South Carolina fans to be unified with North Carolina in love for a particular team?
I think the people who love the Panthers love the Panthers. I think there are people who don't like the fact that they're moving here just for tax breaks, and that's never going to change. Once the politics get into it, it's not going to get out of it, and that will make some people not like the Panthers because of that.
I just, you know, I'm curious if it's possible. I'm curious if it's possible for a unification to exist between both states involving one team.
I get that you believe this is a big deal, but they don't play here.
It's a great thing.
They don't play here.
It's a great
thing
for South Carolina.
They don't play here. They're taking training camp away from Spartanburg. They're moving it up closer to North Carolina. So they're robbing this area of something that we've had for since the beginning of the team. So people aren't happy about it.
What you are getting is the baby steps toward getting an NFL team. And you need to realize that, South Carolinians. You absolutely need to realize that. All right, coming up next, we talk college baseball with Colin Taylor, staff writer at Gamecock Central. He's going to join us up next. Might we see coaching changes at Clemson or South Carolina after two very disappointing seasons? That is coming your way next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you. Hump Day edition of the show. You know, look, I've gotten a great introduction to baseball and college baseball in this particular area. Nowhere that I've worked, nowhere that I've lived has had college baseball be as popular as it is here, right? And so it's kind of been an afterthought in a lot of the different places I've lived, just being honest with you. But I got to attend the Palmetto rivalry at Fluor Field and was absolutely blown away. Blown away. I mean, the vibe there, the atmosphere, it felt like I was in a 1960s baseball movie. And I mean that in the best way possible. It was awesome. It was insane. But for whatever reason, in my opinion, I always say that ultimately your team's performance will be a reflection of what you will accept. You guys have been such great baseball fans, and you don't deserve the products that you've received this year in college baseball. There's no doubt about that. You deserve so much better than this. There are baseball teams throughout the country, my alma mater to name one, the Florida Gators, that receive much less support and put out a much better product year after year than what we've seen from South Carolina and Clemson this year. What does the future hold for those two schools? Joining us right now, he's a staff writer at Gamecock Central. Colin Taylor is on the line. Colin, good afternoon, man.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm fantastic, brother. So here we are, and we're looking at what looks to be a very disappointing season, very disappointing seasons on both sides, South Carolina and Clemson. Where do we stand in terms of Clemson perhaps making the postseason today?
Right now, I'd probably say Clemson's in. I think they have at least one more game left in the ACC tournament, and if they lose that one, then things could get a little dicey. But right now, I'd say they're in probably as a low 2 seed or a high 3 seed.
Well, they get 1 seed Louisville tomorrow, And I don't, you know, I don't expect them to beat Louisville, right? So does the fortune change if they drop that game?
I still think they're in if they drop it, but things get a lot more interesting, especially if conference tournament teams, they steal bids, because it's very, you know, it's almost like college basketball too, where if a team that wasn't supposed to win the conference tournament goes on a run and makes it, then that's another bubble team that doesn't get to go in. So I think a win against Louisville probably solidifies the fact that they're in the tournament, but if they lose, then you're kind of hoping that the favorites win out, and then there's a spot for Clemson on the bubble. But it'll be a tense wait until Monday.
Colin Taylor joining us. Colin, I hear your lady of GPS talking to you in the background.
I'm trying to turn it off.
No, it's all good. What is your relationship like with her? Is it a contentious relationship? Is there warmth there?
You know, I have a GPS and I have my iPhone too, so if I get mad at my GPS, I just always go to my iPhone. I trust my iPhone a little bit more, but don't have an unlimited data plan.
I've long wanted Siri to talk dirty to me, and that's never happened. But she will get she'll get really lippy with me sometimes.
Okay, she'll get sassy.
She definitely gets sassy from time to time. She never says turn right, big boy. But sometimes if I don't make the U-ey where she wants me to, she's like, turn right, I said. You know,
very quick.
Yeah, she's very, very quick. It's really a kind of a love-hate relationship. Sometimes if I feel like I haven't treated her well, she'll send me off the wrong interstate on purpose. It's incredible how that works.
I do the same thing. She'll get flippy with me, and then I'll take the wrong turn just to, get her angry a little bit.
Yeah, this is the Improve Workplace Relationships with Siri segment of the show today, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you on, Colin, a staff writer at Gamecock Central. What SEC team? The SEC is dominant right now. Let's face it. Vanderbilt number 2, Mississippi State number 3. They've got 4 top 10 teams and 3 others that are in the top 22. What SEC team is best positioned for the College World Series, your opinion?
I'd probably say it's a tie between probably Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. I've seen both of those two teams play in person this year, and they're relentless on offense. They put together great at-bats, and then they're just so deep in the pitching. They got guys that can come in and throw mid-90s and get outs and play well. So if you're looking at it right now with a couple of days before Selection Monday and then a couple of weeks before College World Series starts, I'd probably venture to say that Mississippi State and Vanderbilt are your two teams best poised to make a deep run.
Number 2 and number 3 in the country right now. And look, you know, we're used to seeing the SEC's dominance in football. But lately we're seeing it on the hardwood, and we're seeing it on the diamond as well. Why? Why is the SEC having its heyday here, Colin, not just in football, but seemingly now in all sports? Is this a trickle-down effect from the SEC network?
I think so. The more money you get from the SEC network and, you know, even football teams making the college football playoff and whatever else income you're getting, you can funnel that money into things like basketball and things like baseball, where you get new facilities. Georgia just built a new facility. Alabama just built a new one. Mississippi State's building a new one. Florida's building a new baseball facility. So you're seeing these facility upgrades, and the Southeast has always been stocked with talent. And so that's a recruiting advantage. The SEC has a tremendous, tremendous recruiting advantage, and it just kind of snowballs after that. And they're able to land these top guys that don't go pro. And I guess that's all she wrote, because it's good competition and you got good talent, and that usually lends itself to really good results come postseason time.
Do you feel like the ACC, I mean, is the ACC, are they ready for an uptick as well with the launch of the ACC network, or does the SEC have an insurmountable lead right now, baseball, basketball, football?
Right now, I'd probably say especially in terms of football and baseball, that there's a pretty insurmountable lead with the SEC. I think the demand is so high for the SEC network and football and baseball especially, that I'm not sure how the ACC is going to compare to that outside of basketball. So right now I'd probably say that there's a pretty big lead for the SEC, especially over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Colin Taylor, staff writer at Gamecock Central, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Colin, if you would, describe South Carolina's season in one word.
Disappointing.
How about disastrous?
That's a pretty good one, too. There's a lot of words you could probably use. It's not the season they wanted by any stretch. And frustrating is another one, just because they felt like they had a some solid pieces, but it's just things started to spiral, and they spiraled quickly, and injuries didn't help with any of it either.
Yeah, so like, where do they go from here?
That's a good question. I think they really have to start. People like to talk about the pitching, but when you lose 9 or 10 guys on that staff, it's going to be hard to do anything pitching-wise. I think you really got to start with revamping the offense and trying to manufacture a little bit more runs. I know a lot of people are against the new age analytics and changing your launch angle and all this stuff, and I'm not necessarily in that boat of being so far against it, but I think there's a time and a place to do that, and there's a time and a place to manufacture runs, and I think they're going to have to start to tweak their offensive approach a little bit, because they just weren't able to score and keep pace with some of these other SEC teams. And there's hope for the future. They got a lot of guys coming in that they're excited about, and these freshman pitchers that were injured will come back healthy, and these guys that had to pitch and hit a wall late in the year in terms of freshmen will come back another year experience. So there's hope, but I think you really got to start looking at that offense and then determining how much production you're going to be able to get of that on a consistent basis.
What are the chances that we see a coaching change at either South Carolina or Clemson after seasons like this?
I think pretty low, especially at South Carolina. I know that, you know, baseball is a weird sport to where when you take over a program, it's really 2 or 3 years before you even start to get your guys in, because recruiting classes fill up 2, 3, 4 years in advance. So with Kingston, he's putting Band-Aids on right now with a lot of JUCO guys. And this 2020 class is loaded with a lot of high school talent. So I think he's got a year, probably 2 years, to really kind of solidify things and show that they're making progress. And Monty, I'm not sure. A lot obviously hinges on the fact of, does he make the postseason this year? And if he does, then I definitely think he sticks around.
So there you have it. South Carolina's season over. Clemson is clinging to life to make it to the postseason. I'll tell you, Colin, I've seen different people have a different feeling about this. It's not, you know, in college hoops, we have a consensus for most bubble teams. There's very few teams where you're like, I really don't know. You kind of have a hedge one way or another. But I've talked to multiple people in the building today that don't feel like Clemson is going to be in. And I'm, as the assistant program director here, Colin, I'm trying to plan the schedule for June, right? The month of June, the games we're going to carry. And it's killing me because I've got you telling me that they're probably in, and you're a baseball expert, and I respect the heck out of your opinion. And I've got people in the building that are like, Mark, I wouldn't schedule Clemson games. I don't think they're going to have any. So it's just I can't put a finger on what the odds are of Clemson getting in right now. It's the craziest thing.
Well, baseball is such a weird sport, and this year in particular with such a weak bubble that you really don't know, because there's 10 teams, 15 teams vying for probably 7 or 8 spots in the tournament right now. So Clemson, they better win, because if they lose to Louisville and then you know, other teams that are on the bubble start to win a few games, 2 or 3 games in their conference tournament, then that could really, I guess, make them tense up heading into Selection Monday. But right now, if the season ended today, is what I'm saying, I think they'd be in. But a lot of things got to go right for them moving forward over the next 3, 4, 5 days for them to feel really comfortable heading into Selection Monday.
Colin Taylor is a staff writer at Gamecock Central. He's our college baseball guy. Colin, we'll have you on as we get closer to the College Baseball World Series. And we really appreciate your help, brother. Thanks so much.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you all for having me.
You got it. All right. Colin Taylor, staff writer at Gamecock Central. If I asked you as a South Carolina fan, if I asked you as a South Carolina or Clemson fan, one word to describe your feeling about the college baseball season, what word would you choose? 1-844-477-3776. I think the word for South Carolina's season, honestly, would be catastrophic. Catastrophic. I mean, 8-22 in SEC play. This is a team that won a national championship recently, right? The hell happened there? I mean, that's unacceptable. Clemson, I would describe Clemson's season. I would use the word that Colin did for South Carolina. I'd say Clemson's season has been disappointing. And something struck me yesterday. You know, we're going through, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this on the show. We're driving through Clemson's campus. I'm seeing Clemson's beautiful baseball stadium. Absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, I tune on. I'm checking in our signal there because I'm like, okay, do we – And I'm accurate. We get, I always say 97.7 Greenville, 97.1 Spartanburg, 1330 Anderson and Clemson. 1330 was coming in pretty well in the Clemson area there. But the announcers for the Clemson game were really down on the team's performance yesterday. I mean, I've never heard, you know, employees of a team sound so disappointed in what they had just witnessed. And what they just witnessed, of course, was the loss to Boston College, a very damaging loss. The 8-seed Clemson losing to the 12-seed Boston College in a game that you couldn't afford to lose. And the announcers sounded totally, Clemson's announcers sounded totally fed up with it. I mean, it was almost kind of humorous, actually. I've never really heard home team announcers sound that ticked off and annoyed. Right? But it is what it is. A game they had to win, they didn't get it. Does Clemson ultimately get in to the postseason in college baseball? Your thoughts are welcome. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Up next, it's a segment on life and sports where we give you two choices and you pick one. It's either or, and it's up next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are having a great hump day. We'll help you get over it. Each and every day, we like to do a little ditty we call Either Or. It's probably my favorite segment, my favorite, what's called a benchmark in radio, right? It's something you do each and every few days or each and every day. And it kind of helps to break the format of your show. So you do that every once in a while. You throw a guest in. You do a different segment because it breaks the format. It helps the format from becoming too monotonous, right? And that's one of the things I really enjoy about this segment. Plus, it gives us a chance to talk a little sports, a little non-sports. It's a little break for us as a host. And I've heard a lot of great comments from you guys lately that emails and texts and direct messages, Mark, I really like when you go off topic. I really like you go off sports. Well, one of the two either ors, the one that I'll get to second, just took place in the commercial break, and I'll share with you what that is, but either or starts now. All right, Lonzo, so Golden State is making the playoffs boring for everybody in the NBA. We looked forward to it. We thought there was hope that we might see something different when Boogie Cousins went down, when Kevin Durant went down. And I'm not dude that roots for injuries for people in sports, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't smile when both of those guys weren't hurt too badly but hurt enough not to play. I thought we might see something different. So here we are. The Golden State Warriors were 6-4 with Kevin Durant. They're 6-0 without him. I think they're probably going to play the Milwaukee Bucks, although that series is knotted at 2. I think they'll probably play Milwaukee, but they've got a decision to make, and they're going to act like they don't. They don't want any drama. I think Kevin Durant's leaving them anyway. If Kevin Durant is healthy, do you play him? Do you play Kevin Durant if he's healthy in the NBA Finals, given the fact that the record indicates that they might be better without him?
You know what? Here's the deal with this thing, though. If they do play him, that means I think they believe that he's going to be back. If they don't play him, they're kind of telling him, we don't need you. So, imagine having to make that decision. I don't think he plays again for the Golden State Warriors.
What would you do? You're Steve Kerr. What would you do? I'm asking you to make the million-dollar decision.
All right.
Do you play him just because you're trying to convince him to come back? Do you want him to come back at this point?
All right. First of all, me as Steve Kerr, I could see because he's a snot most of the time.
Yeah,
very
that,
snarky.
That fits. That fits.
I like that. I think if I'm Steve Kerr, I play him, even if he is leaving, just because.
When neither Steph Curry or Kevin Durant play, the Warriors are 1-6. They're awful. When Kevin Durant plays without Steph Curry, they're 28-18, which is decent, good, not great. When both play, they have a winning percentage of 780, which is pretty damn great. When Steph plays and Kevin Durant does not, they're 34-4, winning percentage of 895. 90% of their games, they win. When KD plays and no Steph, 60% of the games that they win. It's not even close. Have we been crowning the wrong best player in all of basketball? We look at Kevin Durant and assume he's better because of the things he can do relative to Steph's skill set, but shouldn't we also consider the team aspect of this? Who plays better? Who plays better in a team concept? Who lifts up the play of the rest of the team? It sure as hell isn't Kevin Durant. Lonzo, I'm not playing him. I think he's gone anyway. I'm not playing him, and I'm not risking the chemistry of the team when things are going so great right now. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry are living their best lives without Kevin Durant, and I want to continue to see them live their best lives. No way.
By the way, I would not play him, and I would tell the team doctors to not clear him. And that's a way around it. The team doctors don't clear them, then you don't have to make the decision. I guess you kind of have. All right, here's mine. Which is worse, sweat-soaked, riding-up, clingy underwear, or stepping in an unknown substance in socks? My underwear may or may not be doing that right now. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God, dude. Did you really just go there? Oh, dude. All right, man.
I'm trying to be squeaky wheel here. Maybe someone will fix a stick of air in this room. I'm usually not that guy, but...
All right, dude. So I'm going to go with the foreign fluid on your socks, stepping in a puddle in
that's
the socks.
That's worse?
Yeah, because at least the underwear is yours. You're really browning my boxers by even going there. But I'll tell you, Lonzo, it's worse because that's you. At least it's you. Your own funk on you isn't as gross. You telling me that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. But I'm going to go with stepping in something. You don't know what it is. I mean, that could be radioactive material out there you just stepped in, man. I'm going to go with your own funk over the unknown funk. How about that?
You know, I got to say, for probably the first time ever since we've been doing this segment, you convinced me to change what I was going to go with. You're absolutely right.
I need to be better.
You're absolutely right. The socks are worse. It is worse.
I absolutely need to be better there. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Proof that this is live radio and unrehearsed, ladies and gentlemen. My other either or today comes from Facebook. It came down the pike just a minute ago because I just saw it a minute ago. So my sister posted a picture of herself. I'm taking her to the airport after the show today, and she's hanging out at my place right now. My parents have already left. They're driving home. I think they're probably listening to the show on the radio.com app, which you can do as well. And so my sister posts a picture of herself in my apartment, and she says, "Is it weird that my brother has more skincare products than I do?" Right? That's what she says in her apartment. Right? So laugh at me all you want, Lonzo. Okay, laugh. Okay, it's jokes at my expense. There's a jabroni in the comments section that says this to her, and mind you, she looks. You met her today, right? Well, how would you describe? Very classy, very professional, very nice, right?
Yes, the opposite of you.
Thanks, Lonzo. Appreciate that. There's a jabroni in the comments section that wrote, "Very sexy top, you look great." All right? Now, let me ask you guys this, all right? This is about your sister, okay? Is this something you respond to as her brother, or you let it go? Do you respond to that, or do you let it go? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Do you let that slide? Because that, to me, as a brother, seeing that was a little bit over the line. What do you say, Alonzo?
I think you let it slide, and here's the reason why. I'm thinking about this as you're saying it. What if they said the opposite?
Oh, wait a minute. There's a line. This is why there's shades
of
gray.
At least it was complimentary.
Yeah, but there's shades of gray in life, Lonzo. There are shades of gray in life, okay? You're positive, but you're positive to a degree. You never really want to be negative. I had one of my best friends tell me that one of my outfits in my pictures didn't match. Dude, don't drop that in my timeline. You know, of course it matched. I picked it out. Of course it matched. Come on.
I'm not meaning to talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah, says the guy that wears video game T-shirts all day long. Okay, so anyway, I did respond. I chose to respond, and I said, I don't know that my day needed the, quote, very sexy top about my sister, bro. You know, so that's what I chose to say there. You don't get to say very sexy top to my sister. You don't get to drop that down. That's not how I roll, Lonzo. Okay? You don't get to do that. And for me to see that on Facebook, no, it's not. That's not going to get a no response from me. If I see that, I'm responding to that. Especially when she's taking a picture at my place. I mean, come off it. Really.
Well, here's the deal.
Very sexy top.
You're 41 years old. I'm sure that she's no longer a teenager. Couldn't hardly tell, though. But I'm sure she's no longer a teenager. You need to get past that part. I think she can
Lonzo,
take care of herself.
Lonzo, listen, as a parent, a 15-year-old son going out to a party, I pat him on the shoulder and I give him a little wink and I say, have fun, son. I'm sure you're going to have a good time with your girlfriend. With a daughter at 30 years old, I would say, date. You're way too young to be dating. What are you talking about? It's a different deal, man. It is a different deal. I'm a very protective older brother. Think of me as the pit bull brother boss, okay? That's how I've always been. What do you got next?
We're actually about to run out of bed, so don't get on me about that. All right, hardest month of sports, hardest sports month to get through, or non-sports, July, where there's absolutely nothing, or August, where the anticipation is, you know, you're just a couple weeks away from football starting and everything getting ready to take off. Which is the harder month, the anticipation or the nothing?
I'm going to throw you a curveball here. The harder month is August because the anticipation, it's just a month of buildup. You know, it's like the Kentucky Derby, man. 4 hours of buildup for 2 minutes of action. It's no good. It's just absolutely no good. I like the blank canvas that summer gives you. I really like it, Lonzo. We get to do different stuff. We get to talk about different things. We get to be true entertainers, hopefully, in the summer months of June and July. August is just 30 minutes of hype with very little substance. I got a problem with that. You?
I completely agree with you. I don't know if it's because you've been gone and you just come back that we're being so agreeable. I'm sure we'll get around that by tomorrow, whatever amount of show we have tomorrow. But, yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, Alonzo's mentioned that because we are carrying Clemson in the ACC tournament tomorrow against Louisville. Pregame starts at 10:30, first pitch at 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Upstate. You will hear Offsides with Mark Ryan immediately upon, ready for another big word? Immediately upon the cessation of that game, Lonzo. You ready? Ready for that? Are you impressed, Lonzo? You hit me with analogous earlier. You're like, Mark, nobody understands what that word means. Stop doing it.
Cessation and succession are very close together, and people have heard of that around here.
There you go. There you go. All right, up next, Clemson University described in one word by two people I care about who know nothing about sports. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. Hump Day edition of the show. So anyway, the fam and I were touring Clemson yesterday. By the way, I need to say this, and I didn't mention this earlier in the show. When was it? Monday, we went to Table Rock State Park. We went to Pretty Place. Then we went to Sidewall Pizza, which was outstanding. And then we went to Furman. They said, hey, you just want to drive through Furman. So my mom hops out of the car, right? And I've kind of got a bum back right now. My mom hops out of the car. You ever been to Furman, Lonzo? No, right? I know the answer.
Yes, I've been to Furman.
No, you haven't been there.
I've been to Furman many times.
Okay. Dude's been to Furman, hasn't been to Falls Park on the Rita. I don't understand.
There's one place I haven't been to, and that's the place you keep bringing up.
I know. You got to go. Start going. I'm going to take you there one day. So anyway, we're at the lake where Furman is, and my mom starts like hightailing it around the lake. It's like a 40-minute walk around that thing, right? And so here I go. I'm walking around the lake, and it just hits me, man, that is the prettiest campus I have ever seen. Not only am I jealous about Furman because my alma mater didn't want the two-letter abbreviation that Furman have. My alma mater's UF. Furman got FU. I've always wanted to say, I'm going to FU. I always wanted to say that, you know, in terms of a high school senior. I always thought, well, that would be a great thing to say. But, you know, you couldn't say that at my alma mater. You could say that at Furman. And, the coolness factor was matched with the beauty of that place. I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life in terms of a college campus. Walking around, they got that tower out there, the beautiful lake, gardens out there, picnic benches.
Remember, when the fall comes and the leaves change and all this stuff, you need to go back up
there.
That's
what everyone was saying. Yeah. That's what everybody was saying. You got to see it in the fall. It's insane. So anyway, yesterday we visited Clemson, and while Clemson isn't the most beautiful campus I've ever seen, it's awesome. The sports facility is awesome. And I asked my mom and my sister, two non-sports fans, to describe the feeling of the Clemson campus in one word as I try to understand how they've built what they've built there athletically. Without knowing anything about our discussions or our show, they had the same word, family. They said the campus at Clemson feels like family. Isn't that what Dabo is selling? Isn't it something that the feel on campus feels like what Dabo's selling? Faith, family, all of that good stuff. Felt like family to mom and sister.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.